This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
رحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Yesterday we were discussing the topic of القضاء والقدر, and for those of you who attended, we weren't actually able to finish the class or what was at hand. So what I ended up doing today was, after Fajr, I made the recording on an MP3 player, and we finished off the rest of the, well, I finished off the rest of the discussion, and inshallah, you guys can get the rest of the lecture from Hashi, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. As for our topic today, it is how Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah proves their Aqidah. And this is a very detailed discussion, and you know, I'm quite apologetic that we actually have to cut our discussion down. I had originally planned 10 points of discussion with an introduction and an ending. Because basically what we're trying to achieve with these points is that with these 10 points, any time there's a disagreement in the deen, you refer back to these points and you just make it like a checklist. And well, you check off point by point, and usually it is somewhere within these points that you will find a person has a misunderstanding. And once that misunderstanding is clarified, then you know everyone can agree on that topic or subject. And obviously more in particular in issues like Qadr and Asma wa Sifat and things like this, this is where this topic is very relevant. Because due to people not having these principles, this is why you will find that, you know, one person is an Ash'ari, one person is Mu'tazili, one person is Jahmi, and then you have the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is probably one out of like 100 or something. So it is with these points that one is able to prove their Aqidah and is able to basically build a foundation upon which can return back to, which they can return back to in any sort of disagreement. So that is a general introduction, and what we're going to be doing now until Asr bi'ithnillahi ta'ala is taking the first principle. As for the first principle, then our first principle is al-imanu bi jami'in nusus, that having iman in all of the texts. And what we mean by texts are the texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in Majmu' al-Fatawa, volume 3, page 41, that إنما أخبر به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عن ربه تعالى فإنه يجب الإيمان به سواء عرفنا معناه أو لم نعرف لأنه الصادق المصدوق فما جاء في الكتاب والسنة وجب على كل مؤمن الإيمان به وإن له يفهم معناه وكذلك ما ثبت باتفاق الأمة وأئمتها مع أن هذا الباب مسائل الاعتقاد يوجد عامة منصوصا في الكتاب والسنة متفقا عليه بين سلف الأمة. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he mentions in this quote that anything the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam narrates from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we know its meaning or not, meaning, you know, especially considering our location, a lot of us do not speak the Arabic language, and sometimes we're just given a text from the Quran or the Sunnah and told to believe in it. Now in this case, this is what is compulsory upon the being, upon the Muslim, is that any text of the Quran and the Sunnah that comes to them, as long as it is established that it is authentic, it is compulsory for us to submit to and to believe in. And then he goes on to say that even if he doesn't understand its meaning, as long as it is accepted in terms of authenticity, or we find that the Salaf of this Ummah, meaning the predecessors of this Ummah, had accepted it in terms of authenticity, then it is compulsory for him to believe in it. Now, the way this is going to work is, we'll mention the point, try to get some sort of understanding of the point, and then we're going to mention some of the proofs for this point. So the first, and we're going to be going in a similar order for all of the points. So we'll take an ayah from the Quran, then we'll take some of the ahadith, and then some of the statements of the Salaf. So the first proof for this point is in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 65. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجْ مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this point, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ, that verily by your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath over here, that verily by your Lord, they will not believe, meaning that they will not have iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating a person's iman, حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ, until they make you a judge in everything, that in all of the disputes that take place amongst them. Right? And then, after they have made you a judge, and after you have given your decision, they do not find any discomfort in themselves or in their hearts. So after Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered something, it is upon the believer to submit to it, and not find any dislike for it, or not find any dispute with it, and not argue with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this very point, firstly, He swears by Himself. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by Himself, He shows the importance of this matter. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proving in this ayah. And point number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is negating iman for the people who do not do this. So any time, you know, a person is presented with an ayah, or is presented with an authentic hadith, in order for his iman to actually be there, he has to not find any discomfort in his heart. He says, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, meaning we have heard and we have obeyed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ends off by saying, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا, meaning that they submit to this text, or they submit to the hadith, and they end off all discussion over there. That the final discussion or the final dispute, it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. And this is something which is very important, that especially in our times, when dealing with progressive Muslims, their source of reference is no longer the Quran and the Sunnah. It's like, prove it to me logically, or prove it to me according to, you know, some sort of scientific proof. The deen is no longer a proof for them. So this is one important thing that people have to understand, that as a Muslim, your first source of proof is the Quran and the Sunnah, and then everything else comes secondary, scientific proofs and, you know, other than that. And this is something that has to be understood very, very well. And people have to be made to realize that this is what their deen is built upon. Text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and how it is compulsory to believe in them. Point number two, or proof number two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Imran, ayah number 7, هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. الله سبحانه وتعالى says in this ayah that He is the one who has sent down upon you the book, meaning He has sent down upon you the Qur'an. From it are ayat which are clear in explanation. And then from it are ayat which are vague and ambiguous. Right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for the muhkamat, then the ayats which are clear, then they are the majority of the book. Meaning that the majority of the ayat in the Qur'an, they are clear in their evidence. Meaning they don't require much explanation. Right? And then, as for those people who have diseases in their hearts, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking, He says, as for those people who have diseases in their hearts, then their reference point are those ayat which are ambiguous. And you see this quite often in our times. How many times do you see people trying to negate qadr but with ayat which are, you know, ambiguous? And how many times do you find people trying to prove that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't have a hand, but rather His hand is His power, or something along those lines? They use these ambiguous ayat to try to prove their point. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say that no one will know the true meaning of these mutashabihat or these ambiguous ayat except for Allah and who else? Ar-rasikhuna fil ilm. Those people who have been granted establishment and understanding of the religion, or the scholars of this deen, they are the ones who will understand those mutashabihat. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say, what do those rasikhuna fil ilm say when these ayat come to them? They say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that indeed we believe in it, for it is all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and no one will realize this except for people who reflect. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. And He's talking that regardless of whether the verse is direct in its explanation or whether it's ambiguous, the stance of the Muslim towards it is the stance of the rasikhuna fil ilm. They say, آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلُّ مِنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا, that we believe in it and we affirm it, just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Sahaba accepted it, and those after them accepted it, then likewise we accept it in a similar manner as well. So we can see from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us how to deal with the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, that you have to believe in them. As for the Quran, obviously all of it is authentic. It was narrated through us in a manner which is mutawatir, meaning that there are so many people narrating it from one another that it is not physically possible that anyone would have made a mistake and it not have been corrected, or that anyone could have tried to introduce something and it wouldn't have been picked up. This is how the Quran is narrated to us. As for the Sunnah, then the vast majority of it obviously isn't mutawatir, but parts of it are. And the Khabr al-Ahad, there was such critique and criticism of it that that which has come to us has come to us in a manner where we are able to find the authentic from the non-authentic. So now moving on to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or a proof from the Sunnah, and I guess this is going to be our last proof before Salat al-Asr. It was narrated in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, and I'm just going to find the hadith. Actually, you know what? Inshallah, we'll take the hadith after the salah, because there's also explanation by Shaykh al-Islam on the hadith, which I don't want to separate from the hadith itself. So we'll end off over here, bismillahi ta'ala. And after asr, there's going to be some sort of food. And inshallah, maybe around 6:40, we'll start up again, bismillahi ta'ala. And then we'll continue all the way until Maghrib. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.